Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This passage is in Galatians, and Galatians is a letter that was written to the church at Galatia specifically because they were having some real issues as Christ followers were trying to figure out, do they need to be practicing the ways of Judaism, or do they step into faith in Jesus? Specifically for them, circumcision was a major issue. Must new converts to the faith be circumcised? This was, of course, a major issue and a bone of contention within their congregation. And what Paul comes to in a very feisty letter is that you are all one in Christ Jesus. There is one body of Christ. There is not a body of Christ, a church for Jewish followers of Jesus and for Gentile followers of Jesus. These are not two separate churches. There is one church. There is not a separate church for people who are slaves and a separate church for people who are free. There is not a separate church for men and a separate church for women. The gifts of the Spirit have been given to the body according to God's direction. God put the gifts in the followers of Jesus, and there is one body, and that is where they are lived out. There is not a separate body of Christ for those who were Jewish, for those who were Gentile, for those who were slaves, for those who are free, for the females or for the males. We are all one body. Pastor Mark asked me if I would be willing to talk about ECO's commitment to our egalitarian theology today. And so that is where we are going to go. And we find ourselves here right about to step into the season of Lent. So we're going to have like a little resurrection foreshadowing right before we get into the season of Lent. And we're also at the very beginning of Women's History Month. So what could be more fun than to begin by talking about some of the great women that were a part of Jesus's ministry? For years, I served in campus ministry for most of my career, for over 20 years. My most recent campus ministry post being at George Fox University as the Dean for Spiritual Life and Lead University Pastor. Now, to the Christian colleges, students from all different Christian traditions come for education in faith. And as they come, many would be surprised to find a female pastor. Now, in each of the schools that I have worked in, regardless of whichever denomination was the denomination that the school was founded in, they were all ones that were very empowering and supportive of female pastoral leadership. But students would come to me quietly in private and say, okay, now I see that you're a pastor. How did we get there? What is our theology that leads us to this point? All I'm familiar with, and other students would have a sense of call to ministry, and they'd have these debates with family members or friends. How did we get here? And some students would say to me, I feel like I'm constantly having a debate with people, and I'm just arguing with them, but I don't actually understand this more beautiful vision for women and men together in ministry. And so ECO is very, very committed to this particular piece of our theology. And so it is a joy to flesh out a little bit of that here with you today, as I have done with students for many, many years. And so let me just pray for us as we open the scriptures. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your deep love for us. We thank you for the body of Christ and that we get to be a part of that family. We thank you that we get to house the Holy Spirit in us. We thank you, God, for how you move in our midst. And today, God, we pray that you will be our teacher. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So, just to give you a little piece of where ECO specifically lands, there are many things written, so I'm just going to pull out one little piece from the essential tenets of ECO's which is ECO's constitution, and it says this in the essential tenets: we affirm that men and women alike are called to all the ministries of the church, and that every member is called to share in all of Christ's offices within the world beyond the church. So men and women alike called to the ministries of the church. Every member is called to share in all of Christ's offices within the world beyond the church. This is where ECO has landed after a lot of study. But how did we get here? Well, I'm not going to go through our entire theology because I think you have other things that you're going to want to do this week and this month. So, but what we are going to talk about is one of my favorite parts of our theology, which is Jesus's relationship and work with women specifically. So that particular piece is where I'm going to center in, but that does not mean that there could not be a whole semester worth of courses on Old Testament theology, or the epistles, or the character of God. Okay, there's a lot more that could be said, but we're specifically going to talk about Jesus and women today, a theological position that's rooted in the character and work of God. So let's come to our Lenten spoiler, shall we? So in Luke 24, verses 1 through 12, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. The first day of the week, we know that this is going to be Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week. Now, there's this mention, the women. Everybody knew who these women were, the women. We read through it real fast. But this would have been known. It was known who the women were. The women. A very specific group of women. But who were they? So let's take a closer look by evaluating some of what's in other parts of this gospel and in other parts of the other gospel accounts of Jesus' life. So if we go from Luke's gospel over to John for a second, in John 19, we have this little hint. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, Mary, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Okay, did you know that Jesus had an aunt? When I first read this, it jumped off the page at me because I have a sister. Her name is Kelly. She is also a Presbyterian pastor. And for me, it brought some things to life. This means when Mary was pregnant, she had a sister. There was this relationship. When Jesus is dying on the cross, not only is Mary not alone, but she has her sister there with her. Oh my gosh. A sister. Jesus has his auntie there at the foot of the cross. There's this aunt. Mary, the wife of Clopas. Now, who is that? I don't know. But people knew Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Okay, So we have these four women. So when Luke told us that the women took the spices, now we have some names, don't we? Okay, if we go to Luke 23, which is just, of course, before Luke 24, our text, it was preparation day. So, you know, the day before the Sabbath, so this would be Friday, you know, the day leading up, the Sabbath begins at sundown on Friday, so the preparation day is before that, and they're, you know, it's like the day before Christmas, you know, when you are just wrapping all the gifts and making all the food and getting your house as clean as you possibly can. It is preparation day because the big day is coming tomorrow. So that's the day before the Sabbath is preparation day. And unfortunately, preparation day is the day that Jesus was crucified. So Friday's preparation day. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now, I think this is such an interesting piece when we look at Jesus' crucifixion that Jesus remained dead through the whole Sabbath day. And it was after Sabbath that Jesus came back to life. There is a Sabbath sermon in there for us. But it was preparation day and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women, there they are again, who had come with Jesus from Galilee, followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. They went home and prepared the spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment, Holy Saturday. Okay, but these women, whoever they are, they had come with Jesus from Galilee, which is in the north, and Jesus was crucified in the south. So they had traveled with Jesus, these women. Okay, now back to our text, Luke 24. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, says verse 5, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. The women, this group, they bowed with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. And then here's another reference. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. So they have a relationship with Jesus. They have traveled with Jesus. Remember what he said to you before. This is a connection. These are not just some random women who just happened to be there to, you know, to do the hard work of burial. No, these are women who Jesus has spoken with, who have been with Jesus, who have traveled with him in his ministry. Okay, so remember how he told you, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Okay, so we need to figure out some things about this traveling from Galilee. So in Luke 8, if we look even a little further back, we have Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him. The 12, of course, we know the disciples. The 12 disciples represent the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, here we see her again, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, if you are a Chosen watcher, if you have seen that show, we have seen more of who Joanna is. People now know who Joanna is because of the Chosen, but Joanna really would have been from like the palace, this fancy, wealthy, powerful woman, the manager. So Chuza is the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and catch this word, many others. Many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Now, there are a lot of different thoughts on this. Certainly, we know there's some wealth. Joanna would have had some wealth. We know that there were some customs where women, if their family was able to, when they were married, sometimes families would send some money with the woman when she got married, just in case, just kind of some just in case money. So that could have been some of what was shared out of their own means. But these women were paying for Jesus' travels. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. The ministry of these women was not insignificant. They were helping to fund Jesus' journeys. It's very significant. Okay, so Luke 24, let's go back to it. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene. Here we have our list again. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others, the obvious others. Everybody knows all the others. You know who the others are who are with them. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So one of the things I will say here is in this particular time period, in this particular culture, women could not testify in court. They were not believed to be speakers of truth. And yet, that is who God entrusts the message of the resurrection to. Women. God could have entrusted the message to men who would have been believed, but God chose women, which is cool. Okay. All right. So God entrusts women with important messages, but it's not just this message of the resurrection, which is the best message, by the way. It is also other messages. Do you remember the Samaritan woman at the well who went to the well? In her shame, she went in the middle of the day, and she has this encounter with Jesus, and she's so excited to share about her encounter with Jesus that she tells the whole town, and the whole town comes to faith. This woman is a missionary. She is one of the first to recognize that this is the Messiah. She's one of the first to proclaim that. Anna, the prophet, who Jesus encounters as a small baby. I guess she encountered Jesus. Jesus may have been asleep. But this happens at the very beginning of Luke's gospel. And this woman is able, this prophet, she's called, goes to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem and says, it's here. It's here. This baby, the redemption of Jerusalem has come. God has entrusted women with important messages. And so for us as ECO, we take this really seriously. That these are not small things, and there are more. God does not hold women to cultural roles. And we see this throughout Jesus' interactions with women. One of the most startling ones, of course, is the story of Mary and Martha, which I talked about a little bit this weekend. But part of, you know, how in that story, Martha comes to Jesus and is like, Jesus, do you want to send my sister back to the kitchen with me? And there's some shame because of a few things. Certainly, there's a breaking of religious expectation, of what the law asked of the Jewish people to receive the foreigners with hospitality, to provide food and drink, to care for those because they knew how it had been to be exiles in Egypt. So certainly there's a breaking there, but there's also a breaking of what women did. Women did not sit at the feet of a rabbi. But Jesus says, do you remember, Martha, you're worried about many things. Well, yeah, she is worried about many things. Not just, oh, she has to cook for a lot of people. She's also worried about all the shame that this is bringing upon her family. She is worried about many things. But Jesus says, this will not be taken away from Mary. Mary has taken the posture of a rabbinic student. Mary is sitting at the feet of a rabbi. And you didn't just sit there for the fun of learning. You sat there because you were a student who's preparing to be a teacher. That was the way of rabbinic student experience. That you learn so that you can teach. Mary is sitting at the feet of the rabbi, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus does not say, go back and do what you should be doing. What you should be doing is continuing to learn from me. There's in the parable of the lost coin, we see Jesus actually use, and this happens several times, but I'm just going to talk about the lost coin example. This is an example where in the parable of the lost coin, the God figure is depicted as a woman who searches all night for her coin. And there are, Jesus tells stories like this where in some, the God figure is the father or the shepherd In this one, we have the God figure depicted as a woman. What? That would have been absolutely, it's wild now. It would have been wild then, certainly. And these women followed Jesus. This would have been one of the things that would have been known to be strange about Jesus. He had female followers. Women walking with him, hanging out with him. This would have been unusual. So these are some of the things that we see when we look at the Gospels, that Jesus was treating women differently than the culture of the day, that he was seeing their value, that he was entrusting them with these messages. And there's this third point I'll make is that God sees the women. Jesus sees the women. And though, you know, a lot of times, this isn't the case in ECO, but in Christianity largely throughout much of time, we have often just forgotten to tell the stories of the women in the Bible. But they are there. They are there. In fact, there's this, at the very beginning of Luke's gospel, Luke 4, when Jesus opens the scrolls and, you know, and tells why he's come, I'm the fulfillment of prophecy, he then will go on to kind of get into a little argument with his fellow Nazarene people and those from Nazareth. And one of the things he's going to do is he's going to tell two stories about the gospel coming to Gentiles, the work of God coming to Gentiles. And in each of those stories, the story of the widow at Zarephath, and also in the story of Naaman the Syrian, the women in those stories were very significant people for bringing God to the Gentiles. There is honor that Jesus gives to the women in the Bible, both Old Testament and New. We see in the story of the bleeding woman, Jesus takes time with her. He prioritizes the woman over Jairus, who has come. Jairus, the powerful synagogue leader. Jesus gives his time and his attention to the woman on the margins of society over the synagogue or the leader in his community, Jairus, the synagogue leader. The widow at Nain, Jesus sees she's lost her son and he has compassion for her. Mary and Elizabeth, this example of these two women who have these very challenging pregnancies, and yet God has orchestrated that they know each other and they can spend time together in their pregnancies. God's care for the women, God's attention and attentiveness to the women is remarkable. Jesus going to Peter's mother-in-law and healing her early in the ministry. There are so many of these stories that we just look past as though maybe they're not important, but they're so, so important because Jesus was doing something different than the culture of the day. And Jesus' ministry carries on into the life of the early church, too. The way that these women were showcases how they had interacted with Jesus' 12, how they had been a part of those miracles and those healings, because that continues in the early church. In Acts 1, we have at the very beginning of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, which is the continuation of Luke's gospel, it says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk, a short walk from the city. They all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women, there they all are again, the women, this huge group, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is treated with special reverence throughout the early church, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we read this passage earlier in our service today about the life of the early church and what a unique and special movement that was. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. I want to say also that word apostle. There's a woman who is on the front of your bulletin named Junia, who is called an apostle. In Scripture, the signs, the wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone in need. You should be, as we're reading this, you should be picturing women, not just men. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those being saved. Now, in Romans 16, there is, sometimes we think of Paul as like, oh, Paul came down very hard on women, which actually is not the truth. There were some very specific churches that Paul wrote to that had some very complex situations. And if you look at the actual Greek words in some of those spaces, if you look at what was happening in those very few places, if you understand the Greco-Roman household codes, the patria familias, if you do a little bit of a deeper dive, you realize actually Paul is carrying on the ministry of Jesus, and he's trying to figure out how to navigate some of the challenging dynamics. And we know that in part because in Romans 16, Paul makes this long list of people that he's grateful for. And let's look at this together. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon. There was a deacon who was a woman in the early church. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. Priscilla is called a co-worker. Greet Mary in verse 6, who worked very hard for you. Mary is doing work of the gospel. Greet in verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junia. This is who's on the front. My fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. Junia, she was in prison. They are outstanding among the apostles. And they were in Christ before I was. They were in Christ before I was, says Paul. Now going down to verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work very hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who's worked very hard in the Lord. And what does it mean to work very hard in the Lord when you are starting the movement of church in the world? What does that mean to work very hard? You are bringing the gospel to the world. This good news of the resurrected Jesus. To work very hard in the Lord might mean something different then. And I mean, that's a very weighty responsibility, to work very hard in the Lord. Verse 13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Rufus's sweet mom, who took Paul into her care and cared for him. Verse 14, greet all of these guys and the other brothers and sisters with them. And then we have in verse 15, Nereus and his sister. This is a lot of names of women. And these women's names were known. These were, when a name is put down in Scripture, it's people know who that is. These women were known. So Eco, what we have landed on, and this is just a small, 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 small part of our theology, but what we've landed on is we affirm that men and women alike are called to all the ministries of the church, and that every member is called to share in all of Christ's offices within the world beyond the church. The church, when we think of church as just a building, when we think of church as a hierarchical structure, we actually kind of miss out on some of what that means. Church is this movement. Church is the body of believers. We have been called to the Great Commission, to make disciples, to walk in the way of Jesus in the world around us. This is what we're invited into. This is the church. And since the beginning, women have been very significant in that important work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what we believe, and this is what we get to celebrate. And so, coming back to our Galatians passage. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There's not male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, one body of Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are God's heirs.